This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome back to Market Talk. As Q3 results continue to flood in, we'll be asking why the MSCI All World Index is sitting at an all-time high, what's in store for US and UK central bank watchers this week, and as the great and the good prepare to negotiate hard over climate change in Glasgow, what to expect from commodity prices against the backdrop of the COP26 summit. Asking the questions is me, Francis Watson, and demonstrating his grip of financial markets, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you?
Hi there, Francis, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you very much, despite the stormy weather that we've been having here in the UK. But I have to say, looking at last week's announcements, no real storm in the UK budget, where the Chancellor proved decidedly calming over higher public spending.
Yeah, I think the big difference between this cycle and the post-global financial crisis is that we're not heading to austerity, are we? You know, the Chancellor, the big thing was that he announced increases in real spending for government departments. And again, that is totally different to what happened after the financial crisis. And that's a big change. That actually is probably one of the key differences, in that monetary policy has reached its limits. We've got 0% everywhere. We'll talk about maybe the end of some of that extreme monetary policy this week. And fiscal policy has taken over the bat. And I think it looks as though politicians are going to run with this.
Extraordinary, really, because the bond market seems very happy with life at the moment in the UK.
Well, yeah, there has been volatility, though, over the last few weeks. Not, I don't think it's necessarily to do with to do with the budget. It's really all to do with the inflation that's coming through to some degree, which, to be fair, is partly to do with the fiscal largesse, the fact that governments are spending money like there's no tomorrow, probably partly has been driving the inflation. And we have started to see gilt yields moving up over the last few weeks, and it's pretty important what's going to happen on Thursday at the Bank of England meeting. So you're right. In any sort of historical perspective, yields are still pretty low, but we have seen them start to move, and that could accelerate this week.
Okay, it's a wait and see, isn't it, this week? Now, you talk about the ending of extreme monetary easing, and we saw a little bit about, again, last week with the Bank of Canada. What are there any, if important, read across there, Ben, for the Bank of England and the Fed this week?
Yeah, so you're right. So Federal Reserve is on Wednesday, the Bank of England's on Thursday this week. And that's been the focus of a lot of investors' attention. Federal Reserve, almost certain in most people's eyes, to announce the start of tapering of quantitative easing. So on Wednesday, they're probably, the consensus view is that they'll announce that they'll start reducing their purchases of 80 billion treasuries per month and 40 billion mortgage-backed securities per month. They'll reduce that by 10 for the treasuries and 5 for mortgages. So you see that they've got 8 months. If they do that every month, they'll cut it down, and they'll be at zero in 8 months' time. That's probably what they'll announce. And the Bank of England, 50-50 that they could hike interest rates on Thursday. We don't know by how much, but that's what's being priced into markets, sort of a 50-50 chance. And the Bank of Canada, as you say, last week, was just one of many central banks over the last few weeks that have surprised in a hawkish manner. So surprised at being a bit more aggressive about hiking interest rates or turning off quantitative easing. So you extrapolate that, and that's what most market participants are thinking of this week, that, you know, we're going to get the hawkish policy shift from both the Fed and the Bank of England.
Now, from bonds to equities, because I know you have been super busy analysing all those Q3 results. I mean, the MSCI World Index standing at an all-time high, you know, propelled by these wonderful Q3 earnings. But, you know, a bit strange for me, because, again, the two big misses came from what the two largest companies, Apple and Amazon. So where is all this joy and optimism coming from?
On aggregate, the earnings season has been a pretty good one. It's been more in line with the pre-crisis type of earnings seasons, where generally companies beat expectations by sort of 7 or 8%, and like 80% of the companies beat expectations. They just do a very good job of managing expectations. You're right, there's been a couple of small misses. Some of this is to do with the supply line issues that we all know about. Of course, in the UK, it's pretty much headline news, isn't it? So some companies are finding it a bit tricky to produce enough stuff. And maybe the forecast, you know, what about the upcoming holiday season? That's going to be a lot of sales, and you don't want to have supply issues for that period. So that's been some of the concern. But on aggregate, like I said, it's been a pretty good earnings season. And that, I think, is one of the reasons, well, probably the main reason why equity markets are doing so well, despite what I've been mentioning is that some volatility in bond markets and the perception that central banks are going to be tightening policy. I think without the earnings, without that sort of strong bottom-up growth in earnings and the economic growth being still okay, I think that volatility could have unsettled equity markets. And maybe that's what's going to happen once the earnings season is finished in a couple of weeks' time.
So all rosy in the equity market garden then, in your view, but not so great in the currency markets, where we saw a sharp fall in the Turkish lira last week. What's going on there, Ben?
Yeah, there's some unusual monetary policy being put in place in Turkey. And to be fair, that's been the case for quite a number of years. It's they're not necessarily doing the same sort of monetary policy moves that other central banks would be doing. So, you know, when inflation's too high, sometimes they cut interest rates instead of hiking interest rates. And that just leads to even bigger concerns. But like I said, that's been going for ages. But the thing that's happening now, because the perception in markets is that the Federal Reserve is going to be tightening liquidity, is that these perceived policy mistakes are having a significant impact on valuation. So like you said, we've actually seen quite a lot of weakness in the Turkish lira as a result. And again, I think this is a foretaste of things to come in the next few months as policy is tightened in the US, as liquidity is drained. You're going to see, I think, some of these more volatile markets coming through.
Absolutely. Now, should we just talk about COP26? Because it's all happening here in the UK. Of course, there's a huge irony here, isn't there, that this week we get the OPEC Plus meeting between Russia and Saudi Arabia. And of course, whilst the great and the good are discussing, how to save the planet, these two economies, along with others, are talking about whether to increase further oil supplies. What should we make of that in relation to how it's going to impact commodity prices, which have been so, so strong in the past few weeks?
I think it's a case of the structural versus the cyclical trends in a lot of these commodities. I think we all know on a structural basis, we need to reduce fossil fuel consumption to reduce the temperature increase that we're going to be suffering. But on a cyclical basis, you know, we're thinking about supply of things like oil, of natural gas, of coal here in China as well. And on that basis, we do have to manage investments in the short term into these commodities, or else we're going to suffer economic consequences. So it is a really difficult balancing act. And as you say, it can sometimes look as though there's a contradiction in place. But hopefully, like I said, the structural trend we can put in place and we can have this smooth deceleration of fossil fuel consumption.
Now, just back to the end of this week and looking ahead to Friday, Ben, we've got, again, as you mentioned, US payrolls out this week. Again, I mean, the big thing is will be how to square that circle of, you know, hiring versus the ability to hire, I suppose, and how that impacts company margins. What are your thoughts there?
We had actually last Friday was maybe one of the most interesting data points, which was the employment cost index out of the US, which was the highest level that we've seen for decades. So definitely coming through this wage inflation. We also saw over the weekend an agreement with John Deere, the auto manufacturer, that they're going to be paying their workforce 10% increase next year. So you've seen these massive increases in salary. That's also one of the reasons why the Federal Reserve is going to have to be doing their quantitative easing tapering a little earlier than expected. And maybe the perception is that they'll be hiking interest rates by, you know, the middle of next year. So really this is driving. And yes, Friday's payrolls is going to be an important data point in all this conversation. This week actually is probably the most interesting week for macro data. If you include the central banks, if you include payrolls, the PMI sentiment indicators, and then what we've just had, the G20 and the ongoing COP26. There's huge amounts of stuff going on this week.
Really important, isn't it? Right, so as important is your number of the week, which we always end on. So Ben, what is it for this week and why, please?
I think it's four, it might be five, actually. I can't find the exact data points, but I'm looking at, we've spoken about various central banks, and the Australian Central Bank is doing some unusual stuff with the short end of its curve, moving around, just trying to work out whether or not they want to try and keep two-year yields at 0.1%, which is where their target has been. And they haven't been doing that last week. And two-year yields went up by a factor of four, or maybe five, depending on where you actually take the data points, from Tuesday to Friday. So only from sort of 0.15% up to 0.6%. So I'm not talking about, in nominal terms, a huge amount, but like I said, sort of four times what it was at the beginning of the week. And I guess that just shows you, doesn't it, that when central banks change policy or perceive to change policy, you can get these big movements in rates. And when you're an economy which is very sensitive to short-term interest rates because of lots of mortgages, and I know the UK is very similar, isn't it? You can have these rather large impacts on the economy from these big swings. So like I said, roll on this week, which is going to be very interesting.
Well, we will watch it with great interest, and as you say, really, really important announcements, and important for world leaders at COP2. So Ben, as always, thanks so much for your insight, and we'll speak next week.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, LGIM.com.